Welcome to Under the Water Tower, a production of Fellowship Baptist Church, located in Marble Falls, deep in the beautiful Texas Hill Country. Join Fellowship's staff and leadership while they explore, study, and discuss Bible passages. Here are your hosts, pastors Joni Wallach, Misty Grimm, Daryl Fishbeck, and lead pastor Dr. Jamie Greening.
I wanted to begin with our topic on prayer with some classic prayers that have been used through the ages. I know one Fishbeck likes. We'll start with this one first. So this is St. Francis.
It is a giving.
Yes, exactly.
St. Francis. It is
which is attributed to St. Francis. There's no way St. Francis actually wrote this. I translated it from Latin when I was in college. It's probably St. Bonaventure, who was a warmonger, which is funny when you consider the prayer. But it is so beautiful of a prayer. And it goes like this. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Oh, divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Those words just give me the chills. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just,
I love that.
Just about the best thing on earth. Mm-hmm. What stands out about it, though, when you read it? What is the, because I'm going somewhere with this idea. What stands out about it? This prayer.
My first thought is, and I don't know if I'm on track here, because this is where I want to go today with my notes, is that he's not asking for anything. Asking to attain things as much as he's asking to be able to
help
release.
Others. Yeah. Help me.
It's
help
about
others.
Yeah. Right.
Fill me with you so that I can fill others.
Bingo. That's exactly where you're going with that is exactly where I'm. This wonderful prayer that is, you know, you see it printed on walls and hospitals. It's I would say every week in some church somewhere, someone's praying this prayer. It's just gorgeous. But it's not asking for any, Lord, let there be a parking space for me, or heal my wounds that I have inside of me, or punish my enemy. I mean, St. Patrick had lots of enemies who were always out to get him. Wrong saint. St. Francis had enemies and all these things. But there's the issue of none of that's his prayer. His focus is on what we talked about last podcast, which is transformed.
Change me.
He wants to be an instrument of God's grace, an instrument of peace in the world, and that to me that helps us understand what prayer is about. Mm-hmm. And so this prayer of St. Francis captures that idea of Lord, mold and shape me to be in the world what I should be, not Lord, suck from the world and give me out of the world what I want to gratify and fulfill me.
Yeah.
And it's a whole difference in perspective. Any more comments on that?
I would just say a lot of times when the youth pray out loud, it's like, Lord, help me win this game, or help me to, you know, it's about.
Well, that's because they don't have a frontal lobe.
Well, that's true. And so I think that is a learned, I think that's a learned behavior or a learned method.
Well, I think it's learned, but it's also selfish. Mm-hmm. But when you're a teenager, you expect that. I mean, I don't mean to beat upon teen. We can learn a lot from our students, but one thing is they still haven't crossed over, for the most part, into any kind of empathy.
Right.
And I would tie the first podcast together with that thought, is that I think there are a lot of adults who just continue in that vein because they've not experienced the discomfort of transformation, which does soften a lot of those selfish edges and helps you be a little bit more empathetic to other people.
I agree with that. That's where I was headed with
same.
That's all right. You said it better than I would have. Headed to the place where so many of our church folk that are adults still go to church like they're in youth group, and they've never been challenged to pray differently. Mm-hmm. So when they're 14, they're praying, help us win this game. When they're 25, they're praying, help me close this deal. Mm-hmm. When they're 35, they're praying, defeat my enemies, mm-hmm. right? It's all, it's the same basic prayer, just different stages in life.
Mm-hmm. And dare I say that we have some adult, let's just go for the mega churches, massive churches, it's all sizes, but you see it most prominent in the mega churches, whose pastors are leading these churches like a youth group. God bless our church, grow our church, help us build this building, help us
let me get the Corvette.
Reach this people, mm-hmm. you know.
Wait, Corvettes are part of the deal?
Apparently.
Those aren't very comfortable, by the way.
I think it also depends on your view of God, because if their view of God is like magic genie in the bottle, then they're, you know, they're, okay, I have to just do this, so then it's all about me.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to chase a rabbit here, but do you think, I'm always critiquing the way the church I grew up in, not church specific like one church, but the attitude of the fundamentalist type church, the way the gospel is presented is often, you know, God's way out there or over there, and here's what you've got to do to get him to forgive you and earn your favor. It almost creates this image of God is out there. Therefore, do you think that affects maybe how a lot of people pray? Well, I'm praying to this God who's out there, and so I got to figure out how to get him to communicate with me or give me what I want. And it's because of there's no relationship. There's no intimacy. It's a very distant, again, go back to the transactional word. But do you think those things might, one leads to the other?
Well, I have made a list in preparation for this of, let's see, 7 things that prayer is not. I don't quite say it what you're saying, but you're close to my hypothesis there. A lot of times we view prayer as God is an enigma, mm-hmm. a puzzle that we have in our prayer life is trying to figure out what button to push with this puzzle God to get him to respond the way we want to. And that's heresy, but that's mm-hmm. what we do. Mr. You're awful quiet. You're scaring me.
Well, I'm just listening. I'm listening to everybody's
it's building up.
Perspective. Like, it's building up.
So growing up.
She's still mad because Fishback turned her microphone off last time.
Yeah, I am bitter about
that. I have my finger over the button right now.
And for those of you who survived episode 1 of this season, that was completely Fishback's fault.
Totally. It really was.
Growing up, I always thought God was in the building, in the church building, right? Yeah. So it wasn't until I was older that it really, you know, I start to understand that we are the church. And so I think for a lot of people growing up, if they've not been taught differently, they feel like God is in the building.
As in he lives in the building. So the only time you can connect with him is when you go to the building?
Yeah. Okay. And then so prayer is...
Wait, that's not right.
Is specifically for in church, right? So you worship in church, you pray in church, you do all the churchy things in church. But then once you leave, it's just... kind of a free-for-all.
That's the holy place.
Yeah. Mm. And so I think if you haven't been taught, you know, by parents that go to church or know that the building is not the church.
We're supposed to be different people out there than we are
supposed
in here?
To be.
Oh, no.
And prayer is a conversation between you and your Heavenly Father. And it doesn't have to just be at mealtimes. And, you know, that's what we're working on with the kiddos in mm-hmm. children's ministry, is that you don't have to just pray when you eat or when you go to sleep. Or, you know, it's you talk to God. I talk to God all day long. And I think that's important.
So I was wondering what those noises coming out of your office were.
The prayer we teach our children at bedtime, now I lay me down to sleep. Yep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Yep. If I die before I wake. I can remember.
Pray to soul.
Wait.
There's an option.
I'm 7 years old thinking, wait. Yeah. Do you know, Mom, do you know something I don't know about the nighttime?
Exactly.
Anyway, so to that idea, I have another prayer, which is, I had a Freudian slip earlier, of St. Patrick. So the St. Patrick Lorica prayer, the breastplate prayer of St. Patrick. We're not too far away from St. Patrick's Day here. When we get to that time, I may pull this out and we may pray this thing in church. I mean, it's the whole text is 2 whole pages. It's long. The part we always quote or pray is this part. This is the often shorter version. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Patrick has a clear view of what he wants other people to see in him, mm-hmm. which is
Christ.
Yeah, Christ. Yeah. not him, not the church, not the bishop, Christ. That's the goal. But what we often don't do is we often don't read the rest of his prayer. And this is gold. And by gold, I mean the way he prays very specifically, the same way about transformation, Christ in me, he prays for protection, which is the Celts, the Irish, they prayed that way often for protection, the Lorica prayer. So, I summon today, St. Patrick, all these powers between me and those evils, against every cruel and merciless power that may oppose my body and soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of pagandom, against false laws of heretics, against craft of idolatry, against spells of witches and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul, Christ to shield me today, against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that there may come to me an abundance of reward.
By the power of Grayskull. That's the first thing popped in my head.
They pray that at the mega church.
That is just such a thoroughly, and he prayed this like every day. This is what he went through. That's his version of the whole armor of God, right?
So how did this guy die?
At a ripe old age. my favorite prayer.
It worked.
So my favorite.
Can I have a copy of that?
My favorite prayer, though, he always prayed the Lord, let me live long enough to finish the work. That was a constant prayer for him. He felt called to evangelize those Celtic pagans on the island of Ireland there, and when he arrived, they were just terrible. And he just started to work, and his constant prayer: "Let me live long enough to finish the work." And by golly, he did. And the Celts saved Western civilization, according to Thomas Cahill, which I agree with. Anyway, that's a different story. So I just. When you think about praying for protection, what protect is that a legitimate kind of prayer as well?
When you were praying in front of me, behind me, over me, around me, all that, you know, my first thought was that old prayer when the youth are leaving on a trip, mm-hmm. God, we pray a hedge of protection around this van that they would get there and back safely.
Mm-hmm. What does hedge mean?
I have no idea.
We only use the hedge for lawn care and prayer. That's it.
That's it.
I've never heard anyone say... I'm creating a hedge of economic prosperity. I mean, no, that never happens. Or
hedge fund. I don't know what that is. But
ooh, that's right. Another use of hedge. Is that the same use? Where does it come from?
I just said I don't know what that means. But
interesting.
That's fascinating. Anyway, you're right. The hedge of protection around us. I think Patrick's a little more specific, though. We have evidences of other kinds of prayers from the same time period. Protect me from... wicked men and wicked women and all their advances.
Because in the times they lived
Jezebels.
In,
yeah, exactly.
They needed all the protection.
Protection. And when you live in a non-scientific world, then you see spiritual things behind things that we would say are not spiritual. But does that mean we shouldn't be praying for protection from them anyway?
Yeah, that was like popped a thought in my head when Jen and I went to Edinburgh. We took this underground tour of like the, because part of the city was built on top of other housing developments, the Royal Mile and stuff, and people lived down in these just like dark, wet, dank places. And then they were explaining the plague of the Black Plague, I guess, and how they were trying to defeat it. And you know, the guys that wore the leather, the mask, I can't remember what those things are called with the big
beak masks
mm-hmm. and the leather and stuff, and they were thought to have superpowers because they were like completely covered in leather and stuff, and they would come do these things, and the city would pay them to do these things to prevent, you know, and what, you know, ultimately science found out was it wasn't the rats, it was the fleas that were on the rats that were spreading this stuff, mm-hmm. and these guys were fully covered, and the fleas weren't getting on them. That was the main reason they didn't get the plague. But again, these guys, many of them, took advantage of the people because it looked like, it looked like we could pray to these guys or we could pay these guys. They have magical spiritual powers. And so you thought about, science and stuff like that. I don't know that it applies, but that just popped in my head.
Mm. So I want to talk a little bit about Patrick's prayer of protection is, has science drained from prayer some of its urgency? And I don't mean that in a negative way, but just if you know that the tooth hurts because it got a cavity and not because of spiritual powers that are attacking you, or we think about cancer, or we think about aging, any of these things, used to, before the scientific age, these were all calls to prayer. Mm-hmm. Now they're called, you call a doctor or you call a dentist.
Yep.
Has that changed the nature? Is that maybe why we've stopped praying about protection and we've stopped praying about transformation? Because we believe that's going to come about from the scientific side of things. So all that's left for God to give us is the goodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it goes back to the why of the prayer. Was he praying this because he wanted to live long enough to do God's work? Or was he praying it so that for self-preservation? And I think a lot of times when we pray those prayers, like on the way to camp or whatever, it's more about we don't want to go through those tough times here.
But when was the last time that you prayed on the way to camp? Instead of just a hedge of protection, Lord, protect us from flat tires. Protect us from bandits on the road who may take advantage of us if we get stranded. May all the gas be effective for the engine. May the oil run hot and well, but not too hot and too well. Maybe no one gets sick in this car while we go.
Please don't let us break down.
Protect us at the certain intersection where it's very, very dangerous. Lord, let Misty not drive. All the things that we would pray going to camp, do we get specific that way, which we don't.
We don't.
But Patrick, in his prayer, was painfully specific about exactly what concerned him.
He didn't care. And when we pray, we're praying, we're showing homage to God Almighty, right? And so when you have the scientific part come in it, I see what you're saying. It almost takes that part of it out. Because if you're looking at the scientific facts, well, it is what it is. It can't be anything different. And it takes that realm of who God is and God can do anything. It almost takes that off the table.
It removes the supernatural realm from the everyday.
And we do diminish our prayer lives because of that. Well, it's just not going to happen. According to what I've seen, and I know I've seen this before, and she's just not going to get any better.
I think
God can do it.
I'm having a whole barrage of thoughts trying, and I don't know if I can put them
in words.
I
heard
that.
But it sounded like metal on metal.
Smell the smoke.
It's like you've got the extreme on one end of maybe a Reformed theology that it's all predestined. So does it really matter? And then you maybe have the other extreme of God won't move unless we ask him to, which then becomes kind of maybe gimme, 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 of maybe trying to find some balance in the middle of being able to be honest and say, I want to not have flat tires and the engine. I want all of these things. Here's my heart. I want healing from cancer, or I don't want to get cancer. But then also the balance of, but if it does come or if it does happen, help me to be able to, process and walk through it when it happens.
God's will,
I don't know, because I think there would some people be like, well, that means you don't have enough faith. You have to have faith. You can't doubt, And so you've got these extremes, and I don't know if there's maybe a way
a
to meet in the middle.
Of being realistic and having the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the science part, though, is a cavity for people... before science.
Science is a cavity.
Science is a cavity, that's right.
And the Bible is a root canal.
they would have felt like that was a spiritual attack, so they wanted to fight it with spiritual means. Now we're like, oh, that's physical. I guess it still could
be
physical.
And you can have the extreme of anytime spiritual. Anything goes wrong, it's a demon. There's a demon under every rock. You can look for things.
Does it have to be a demon to need prayer? In other words, if it is just a bad tooth, that because you eat wrong foods and don't floss and it hurts, it's not a demon. Does that make it any less necessary to make that an issue of prayer? And when you do pray, what do you pray? Yeah. Do you pray, Lord, take away the pain?
I know it's my fault, but...
Or do you pray, in the midst of this, give me the grace to still get the work done I need to get
help
done.
Help me be a light no matter where I go today into the dentist office.
Keep me from biting the head off of my dental hygienist when she's just trying to take care of me.
Yeah.
Or my friend who's talking to me, but I have a toothache. I mean, we all recognize toothache is like the worst kind of pain. That's why dentists make so much money, because when you have a toothache, you will pay anything to make it stop.
Anything.
Just fix it. Just make it stop.
Yep.
Any more thoughts on these two? I mean, I thought we'd spend 2 minutes on that. I think we spent 25 minutes on that. More thoughts on those before? Because I've got this list of what prayer is not.
I say we should just start walking through that. Or we're
do the list.
Be it
do
an hour list. And a half podcast do. Again.
It could be. It could be. And I believe that Misty and Joni have a special bonus episode.
What?
On a very special Under the Water Tower.
I was not told about
dun,
this.
Dun, dun.
So what? I just made this list last night. This, to my knowledge, this list is unique. I've not stolen it from anyone, although I probably have put it together from reading very many other people. So it sounds like something you've heard somewhere before. That's probably because
that's
you've heard
still
it before. Prayer is not an information briefing informing God of some things He needs to know what's going on.
I need to let you know. It could be, though, I recognize this in my life.
I recognize this in my life.
Like a, you know, confession.
Confession is one thing. That's where we agree with what God already knows.
Right.
I'm a sinner. I shouldn't have watched that thing. I shouldn't have eaten that.
When I said that, I know I was an idiot.
A sinner. It will work. Idiot's special to you.
You know, it's whatever.
So, yeah. We begin our prayers, Lord, so-and-so has all these things. And we give the Lord all the information on so-and-so's foot problems or back issues or cancer or whatever it is. And we give all this to the Lord as if He doesn't know because we're prepping Him. We do this with people pray about the country, they do this. Whether you're left or right, again, I am gleefully apolitical. I care about issues, but not political parties. But you get people on the left, they'll start informing God in their prayers, oh, Lord, you know that the Republicans have done this to make the poor people not be happy or not have what they need. And on the right, oh, Lord, you know what the Democrats have done to the unborn, blah, blah, blah. All these things. And we begin to inform God of information
He
already knows. Mm-hmm. In fact, He knows
but
more than you do.
A lot of times, I think, you know, Scripture tells us to come boldly. And in doing that and sharing our hearts, I know sometimes when I pray, it's an all-out-there prayer. You know, I don't say these things to anybody else because it's my private time with the Lord. And I do lay it all out there. And it is things that He knows, of course, but I feel like to get them off of my chest and off of my heart, I've just got to pour it all out there. So I think there's something about saying things out loud, too.
I agree.
That is helpful.
But you're not informing God.
No.
If anything, you're getting your mind around it as you're processing. That's the way I'm about writing.
Yeah.
There's a great, I think it's Flannery O'Connor, I don't know how I think about something until I write about it.
Yeah.
The process of writing it helps. So I can see that where as I'm praying, I'm working through that. Okay, I got you. Any more comments on what prayer is not an information dump for God?
Bless you. And keep you. Make His face shine upon
body
you.
And give you
convulsions.
Peace. I feel much better now. That was, I don't know if
I was just thinking, I'll edit that out. And I'm like, no, that's all been too good now.
Man, I don't know about that. maybe we should edit that out.
No.
So what else prayer is not? Prayer is not dependent upon your eloquent language.
Thank goodness.
Or theological.
Easy for you to say.
Eloquent language or theological precision. I've heard people describe somebody else as, well, she prays really good. And what they mean is her words are good.
She uses big words.
She uses big words, and she knows what to say to get God's attention, so to speak. Her prayers are so much better than mine.
I feel like growing up, and I had a great church experience. There's
it doesn't
there's,
seem
there's
that way because
I know I only
sure?
talk about the negative.
At least once or twice a podcast, you come
I
up
just
with.
I have to go back to my church history and Baptist life, and it seems like this observation I would make is that the way men in that culture, because we sure wouldn't have had women deacons in the church I grew up in.
And they couldn't pray out loud.
Oh, definitely not. So but the way
even if their head was covered.
The way men became candidates and ultimately for deacon and ultimately a deacon was, oh, he prays well. They got to pray in public once and then everyone like, mark that guy. Pay yeah. attention to him because yeah. he knew how to use the because the we always had the walk down offering and then the deacon would pray or whatever. And they used those churchy deacony words and stuff. And it's like once you learn how to use that certain
I
want to
know what the churchy deacony words are.
Man, I'm just
deacony
I need
is,
to,
I don't think
to really
word,
think
Darryl.
About it.
Oh, Lord, bless these tithes and offerings which we have received. Bless the gift and the giver.
Yes, the cliches, the phrases, ooh. All of that stuff.
Is there anything wrong with praying to the Lord to bless the gift and the giver?
No.
There's no.
really anything wrong with praying in any way until you become devoid of the connection with it. If it's just something that you're repeating from rote or something you heard.
But I must say, when I hear a prayer, you can tell, I can tell if it's heartfelt or not. You know, there's a difference between your, I guess, the prayer, the posture of your heart when you're praying and just... Dear Lord, thank you for that. Amen. You know, there's a difference.
When are you going to do that?
Well, and I think there's a difference, too, between personal prayer and public prayer, because in the right. church culture, there is a stress about getting up in front of a group and praying and saying words that make sense and not losing your thought or whatever. Because imagine all of our personal conversations, some of us ramble, some of us are more quiet.
And I feel attacked.
I feel our very prayer. Attacked right now.
Every day.
Hey.
I maybe was talking about myself, but not now. But our personal prayer lives, I think God can handle the rambling and stuff, and there's probably a lot less pressure of needing to use mm-hmm. cliches or phrases or things like that.
I think if we would learn to back away from the pressure of trying to be eloquent or say
yes.
the theological
authentic.
Precision,
your heart would
we would get
it.
Rid of the words like just and like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Father God, if you would just like, mm-hmm. If you just be with us, Father God, just like, and mm-hmm. then God's
no,
like,
I feel attacked.
God's like, can you get to the point?
Hurry up. He knows the point.
I'm a big advocate for to the point prayer. I don't think that I don't have this on my list, but I don't think the longer your prayer is, the more effective it is.
Yeah.
If I am working through my temper on one, there's a very specific church issue right now. That I'm very angry and upset about. When I pray, I don't need to pray for 7.5 minutes on it to get. I just Lord,
yeah,
help me with this because I don't want to do or say something mm-hmm. that would be inappropriate for both my calling in you and my office in the church. Right, mm-hmm. Those are important prayers, but I don't have to belabor the point. Just mm-hmm. get to it. I don't have to build it up. I don't have to be eloquent about it and present a case mm-hmm. like I would before the Supreme Court or something. What prayer is not? Prayer is not an attempt to persuade God to do something he doesn't really want to do.
Mm. One of the best messages I heard on this was actually at a Super Summer back in the 90s.
You're killing me. You're
I'm
just
sorry.
You're killing me.
I'm trying to say something positive about my old church days. But the guy really made the point about praying, and he said, you know, if we view prayer as this, if we just mean it enough, if we pray hard enough, like there's this threshold that once we cross this threshold, God's going to be like, ah, now I can finally give you what you prayed because you really, really meant it. And his main point was, if that were truly the case about prayer, then doesn't that in effect make us God? Doesn't or doesn't that make God our puppet, so to speak? Is that if I pray the right way or long enough or hard enough, then God has to give me what I want. Then God's no longer God.
I think that's sort of what I'm saying. I'm saying something a little different.
Fine.
What I'm saying is prayer is not God in heaven saying, I'm not going to heal Susie of cancer. I'm just not. and we come at God, if I pray hard enough and convince God he should.
If there are 50 faithful, will you? And if I there can are get, 10 faithful,
if we can get Abram. People to pray, then we can make God do the right thing.
Right.
God's not going to do the right thing unless my prayer life persuades him to do the right thing. Which is the opposite of the way Jesus taught us to pray, which is your will be done, mm-hmm. your kingdom come, not ours. Our will is what we want. And we pray as if God truly is good, he will do what we want. Mm-hmm.
And if God did everything we wanted, could you imagine the mess we'd be in?
Well, first off, nobody would ever die. Mm. Right?
I feel like there'd be a lot of people that I would have taken out a long time ago. They would die.
I'm just
going to say that. I'm just getting that out there.
Miss you taking out. But if we think about, like, Hebrews.
Against poisoning,
but then
against burning.
Pray,
against
someone would pray them back to life.
That's right.
True.
I think a lot of people, though, look at, like, Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to
yeah.
let us
yeah.
therefore come
say?
Boldly to the throne of grace. I think they.
Making your prayers and petitions
they
known.
Think that is all about them, but it's about. Receiving mercy and grace. It's not
transactional
about,
again.
Right. It's not transactional. It's not.
Well, I pray almost every day for peace in the world. I'm serious. I don't mean like, you know, a hippie or a peacenik. But my point is I pray very specifically for right now for the war in Israel mm-hmm. between them and Hamas. I've been praying for the Ukraine war to end since it began, but I also pray for there's been ongoing war in a place called Eritrea, which most people don't even know exists. Yemen, the war in Yemen is intense, and that actually has been going on for a long time. I pray specifically for these, and I ask, Lord, bring peace in these places. And I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the security of Israel and all these things. And you know what hasn't happened in any of those places?
Peace.
They're all still at war. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want peace too.
Right.
Right. So human agency is involved in these choices. So something else is happening when I pray for peace in Ukraine or Israel. But it's not me trying to persuade God. Yeah. To make something happen that he, God's not in heaven saying, I'm kind of enjoying this Hamas war. Mm-hmm. All these children dying from bombs is great. I love it when terrorists have their way and capture people just having a wedding party.
Or
this
if
is wonderful.
Only I knew what to do, if someone would pray to me and tell me what I should do.
If only Jamie would ask the right way with the right words and the right eloquence, then I would bring peace to Palestine. That's not who God is. That's not what's going on.
We have to know he's got a bigger plan. He's got a plan to all the suffering and all the.
Plus, it softens your heart as you pray
for
those.
Well, that's what I was.
That's where we're going to go. Yeah. That's where I want to go eventually. But I want to hold off on that. How you give me hand signals?
We're at 33 minutes.
33. So let's take a little break now. Kelly's going to give you some very important information. I've got about three or four eloquently. I got three or four more things. Prayer's not, and then I've got another 2 hours of show material for us to cover.
You are listening to Under the Water Tower, a ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church located in Marble Falls. We would love for you to join us for worship. Visit our website for worship times at fmf.life. Do you have questions or suggestions on future topics for Under the Water Tower? We would love to hear them. Send us an email to office@fmf.life. If you like what you hear and would like to support this ministry, visit fmf.life/give. That's fmf.life/give.
Prayer is not made more effective by more people praying for it.
Ooh.
So we've talked already about how prayer is not convincing God to do something he doesn't otherwise want to do. But it's also not one of those things where he's in heaven saying, well, Misty's praying for it, and Daryl's praying for it. If they could just find five more people to pray as well, then I would.
Joni would.
Two's
just
not enough. So we've got to, and the more people you get praying for it, the more it's got to happen.
What about the prayer lines?
Prayer lines, prayer chains, whatever you want to call it. Get 500 people praying for this thing, then God will act.
Well, you see, that doesn't work, because what you're supposed to do is you call the prayer line for the televangelist, and if you send in $5 with your prayer, he will send a prayer cloth back that he prayed over. And the more you send in, the quicker you'll get your answer.
So
that's what we're missing.
So I hear you. You're heard.
You're heard. Your prayer is heard.
The problem, he's heard, not the prayer. The problem with that is so preposterous and ridiculous, it doesn't even warrant a response. I think most Christ followers see that and recognize it as shamanism, straight out, and sacerdotal at a root.
That's
just awful.
The word I was thinking.
I don't think that's a real word.
It's 100%
I've heard it, but I never would have pulled it out of the recesses of my brain.
Sacerdotal?
Yeah, no.
So in some traditions,
I'm going to start using that when I learn how.
Yosemite Sam, sassafras.
Well, let's use sacerdotal in its proper way, though. Let's not just, hey, I'd like some, can I have some green beans and the rice and some sacerdotal?
I like it.
No, sacerdotal is refers to priestly. So if we do some sacerdotal things here, anytime you have church life, you do that. So when I baptize people, the words that we use, the form that we use, you lift your hand in a certain way. These are all sacerdotal ways. When you hold your hands in the open common gesture while praying, that's a very priestly sacerdotal thing to do. That's what that means, kind of priestly. But when you take it down to its root level, the idea is that certain people by office or by ordination have more spiritual power. And that's what the prayer cloth thing is.
That's what you said last podcast, right? That your prayers are more effective than ours or something?
What I said was you can pray, but you'll never pray like me.
That's it. Okay. It's the
if you're going to quote me.
Quote it right.
Quote me right. So the...
It's the holy man syndrome.
Right, the holy man. The thing that I and I alone can pray for you in this way. And
it's funny. It's always the holy man who is telling you how holy he is.
And it's the token that he gives you of your... This is no different than in the Middle Ages of going to get to the true piece, to touch the true piece of the cross, right? That kind of thing. It's insane is what it is.
So you can ask other people to pray for you, but praying in numbers, is that what you're talking about? Like praying and
this
we'll
idea.
Get enough.
You still see it on social media. If we could just get enough, if we just
prayer
get everybody
chain.
Praying for
oh,
this,
gotcha.
Praying all around the world,
all yeah. around the world for this one thing.
Yeah.
Now, I do think something is happening when we get someone to pray for us. Mm-hmm. I think sharing our prayer request is legitimate.
Yeah.
And I don't want to denigrate that.
Yeah.
And I think
that's why I was making
praying
the,
informed is necessary.
The difference.
But something sure. else is happening than. The more people
right.
I get to pray for this,
like God needs more people to pray.
God will be convinced.
Yeah.
He doesn't hear just one or two, but if you get 500,
then
he
do.
Hears,
really
yeah.
hear
yeah.
which minimizes the power of God and the concern and care of God, which I think is a disservice to him.
Yeah, like he's not powerful enough to do it just by.
We pray like yeah. he's not powerful yeah. enough, or we're not important enough, or he doesn't care enough. Mm-hmm. We've made him a distant dictator.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost like the you see this in sports where the coach is trying to push the kids. And so, well, I don't believe you're really working hard enough. You're only giving 90%, you know. You push my and it works on some kids like me where you're like, "Uh-uh, well, I'm going to show him." And so it's like we think of God as this coach who's just waiting for us to really prove our effort that we're okay, you're really serious. You really mean it.
Oh, I hope not.
No, I hope not too. But I'm saying that's what this is making me think of.
Yeah, the whole thing where, what is it? There's a word for what you're describing. I can't.
Shame is what I'm thinking. Place to people's shame.
It's this reverse psychology.
Oh yeah.
I knew I'd find. This idea that I want you to do this, so I'm going to try and convince you that you can't
you
do
can,
it
or
that
you're
you
not.
Shouldn't do it.
The funniest story about my brother when he was in high school, he really didn't play a lot of sports. He's very athletic, played baseball and basketball. We had a coach that was like that. And he was at a practice one night, and the coach was giving him that speech, you know, give it your all, give it your all. And he said, "Coach, I'm giving it your all." "No, you're not." And he said, "If you can't give it more than that, then you can just leave." And he walked out of the gym and quit and never came back.
Your brother's like, "I'm glad I know
like,
the terms.
I wish I had that attitude."
I'm glad I know the terms. You're always happier. Okay, so what else is prayer not? Prayer is not only to be used as a last resort, which is a lot of what we do.
Let's pray. Has it come to that?
Has it come to that? I guess all we have left to do is pray.
We gotta
right?
pray.
We do.
Yeah.
We do everything in our power to make it happen.
Yeah.
We want this thing, whatever this thing is, and so we've talked, we've learned, we've bartered, we've begged, we've stolen, we've persuaded. It hasn't worked yet, so I guess we're going to have to pray about it, because all of our ingenuity has failed.
Yeah.
Prayer is a last resort.
If we really realized what a precious gift prayer was, and also what a powerful weapon prayer was, I think those are the two places that we... And I'm in there too, you know. I think we just don't take them serious enough.
There's a famous quote from Annie Dillard. I think this could be from A Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. If we knew the rough quotation, if we knew the power,
you're going to quote somebody. Quote them accurately.
Just me. And I'm admitting it's a. If we knew the power that we were unleashing when we prayed, we would wear football helmets while we prayed, which is an
Absolutely.
Interesting idea.
That's exactly right.
Church full of people wearing football helmets. that's actually...
that might work. Cool. That could be interesting.
They would not. It'd mess up my hair. I'd have to comb my hair if I wear this football helmet. Are you against good hair? Because you don't have any hair. You could wear a football helmet.
Can we stop talking about hair, please?
I'm sorry. My bad. Prayer is not about results.
Because when we pray, we are always under the intention that we're praying for something.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't, he hears, but that doesn't always mean that he's going to grant us what we want.
You've heard it said that God answers all the prayers. It's either yes,
no,
wait. Yeah, exactly. Yes, no, or later, or wait. And I just argue that's a wrong idea of what prayer is. You've turned prayer into asking mommy and daddy for something.
Right. Yep.
And that's a results-oriented view of prayer. I'm either going to get it, or I'm not going to get it, or I'm going to get it later, whatever it is. That's not what prayer is about. It's not about getting what you want. It's not about actually achieving anything. There is no teleological end to prayer other than prayer itself. That's at least in my perspective. Prayer is not dependent upon using the magic words. What magic words?
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Or Heavenly Father. At camp, they say, "Hey, Daddy." That's creepy.
Oh,
that's really creepy.
Do they really?
That's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who says that?
That's not okay.
Yeah, not okay.
Who says that?
It was a Gloria at a camp.
A Gloria at a camp.
It's okay. Yeah.
Hey, Daddy.
Hey, Daddy. Wow. I'm like, oh, that hurt.
You know what? They read The Shack.
Yeah,
no,
they did.
No.
That,
I got none of that from reading The Shack, so you can just hit on down the trail.
I felt that in The Shack, no?
Papa. Oh, dear. So the daddy, that's rough. Yeah, the magic words in Baptist life, it's very much in Jesus' name. In fact, I have had people come at me, "You didn't say in Jesus' name." And I'll tell them, well, I opened the prayer with "Dear Jesus" or "Dear Lord" or "Our Father."
You're acknowledging him.
I'm clearly praying to Jesus. I'm praying to the great triune God mm-hmm. here.
I very much remember as a teenager hearing a sermon on the importance of using the right words when you pray because it unleashed certain things. And that was a big one. In Jesus' name, amen. That was special power in it.
Now you recognize what happens when you do that, right? You've turned prayer into just another magic mm-hmm. incantation. Where you have the right words and the right spells, Leviosa, right? it's in the right way.
Yeah. Hey, I would like to go on the record as saying Jamie is the first person to make a Harry Potter reference in this season. It was not me.
But I didn't actually say the words. I'm 2 for 2 right now.
They knew.
What about the methods for prayer or like the... at camp, they taught us the taco method.
That's in my notes.
You know, the formula. I feel like
taco method. This is a flower or a...
It's a Thanksgiving, adoration, confession,
acronyms.
Others, mm-hmm. self. It's a formula
P-R-A-Y,
for prayer.
P-R-A-Y.
What that is, that's a revamping of the old Acts formula. Adoration, yeah. confession,
Thanksgiving,
supplication. Would you turn supplication into... others, I think.
I did like the pray one. I used the pray one for a while because it was praise, repentance, ask, and yield. I liked the yield idea because that was the only acronym that had a little bit of hinting at maybe I should actually listen for a minute and not just be the one doing all the praying.
Yielding. Nobody yields.
But you can still pray without using an acronym.
What?
I don't know. But if you don't
that's
say
going
amen,
rogue. That's pretty wild.
Do you have to say amen? That's magic words.
I don't know. We taught it to our kids in sign before they could even talk.
Your kids in sign?
Like sign language? Amen. Amen.
So Lawrence and Anne Marie are...
Oh, wow. Don't break my microphone.
Really? For reals?
For real, yeah.
What does amen mean?
So let it be.
So be it.
So be it. So let it be. It's an Aramaic phrase. It just means you agree.
I know, but it feels like if you into prayer, you don't say amen.
So, okay, in Jesus' name, I agree. So I've prayed this prayer, and I just said, I agree. How does that work?
It means you're not arguing with yourself.
But what I'm saying is I just had this thought. If you were to say the words, I agree, or so be it, but am I saying it about the words I just said? Because it might actually cause you to think about what you're praying. If you're saying, I'm going to say a bunch of these words and then say, I agree.
I'm in agreement.
The heart of the amen is not for your own prayer.
Yeah.
It's if Daryl is praying, then I add my amen to it. I agree with what you have prayed. Sometimes people will pray things, and I will not add my
I'm not in agreement with that.
I am not signing
God,
off.
God, you better not be either.
I'm not signing off on
that. What is the word for that?
No.
Stop.
Let your yes be yes.
Stop
let your no
it.
Be no. Stop it.
Zip it.
lots of people pray. It don't mean it's a Christian prayer. Mm-hmm. That's one of my problems. Is a lot of what gets prayed in churches is not Christian prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's pagan in nature that if you're praying for things that you want and you're using the magic mm-hmm. words and you've gotten other people on board with it, therefore God has been bound to perform. This is magic.
Mm-hmm.
That's not faith. And so
if it doesn't happen, he's a liar. You know.
No. There's always the gaslighting catchphrase. If it didn't happen, it's never God's fault. Obviously,
you didn't pray hard enough.
You didn't say it right.
Yeah.
You didn't do it right. You asked in the wrong way. You didn't get enough.
You had a
people.
Secret sin
there's
in your life.
Sin. There's something. Mm. We all know the secret sin, Misty. So
it snacks.
Pretty boring. So
I'm pretty boring too. Yeah,
I got a bit of eight.
So those issues of prayer, it's not really Christian. It's and so worship then becomes a bastardization of the true expressions of faith because prayer is not designed to manipulate God at all. And so that's where I'm at. That's my list of mm-hmm. I got 7 things prayer's not. Any more comments on what's
not? But when
not?
You bring God down, you know, and that's the problem with so many people. They want to bring him here and have, either raise yourself up and have him here or we want to be level. instead of us raising, you know, looking up and raising our prayers up, they want God to come down and be.
I agree
and
with
meet you in the middle.
Just
meet me in the middle.
We want our mundane existence, and we want to drag God into that, whether it's the parking spot or my sore finger or the political cause I'm involved in.
Yeah.
We want to sully him with the temporal things of our life rather than viewing prayer as raising up us up into where he is at.
Okay.
And those are two different things.
We want God's validation or endorsement on the way I'm living.
Mm-hmm.
Like a parking pass. Can you stamp this, Lord? We've all around the track here on prayer and what it's not. So now we've butted up against it. What actually, I want one more thing. I'm not against acronyms in praying if it helps you, but they're only helps.
Well, right? And I think it's not the only way to pray.
Exactly.
I think a lot of times people say, this is the method you have to use. If you don't add an adoration in your prayer, then you've done it wrong.
You're right, because I think the first time I heard the ACTS, it was taught more as this is a proper way to pray because it helps align you and prepare you to ask for things.
There's a time for that, though. I think when you have your designated prayer time, you know, it's one thing. But then it's in those moments where you're sitting in your car and you're having a meltdown. Lord, help me. I need you, you know. In those things, would you agree? I mean,
your whole life should be a prayer without ceasing.
I agree with that, but I think that also cheapens it. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what I'm saying. Because I agree, my whole life is a prayer before God. I never not pray. I never am going to come to a place where I don't pray.
You still need your.
But when I say all my whole life is a prayer, people use that and say, I don't have to have any specific time for prayer because my whole life is a prayer.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what that means. But I see.
I don't think that's what you mean. But I think a lot of folks will use my whole life as a prayer. Therefore, I don't actually ever really pray.
And I do think you have to make time for it. You have to set this is my time.
The people who push my private worship the most, and I always worship God, worship least in public, because they'll always say, "Well, I worship God at the lake or whatever. Mm-hmm. I worship God at home."
And there's just something about having that intimate time where it's just you and him alone. You can cry, you can be angry, you can listen. You know, you can't do that if you're driving in your car. You can't do that if you're at HEB grocery shopping. You know, you have to clear your mind, and it has to be a mind.
No, when I'm at HEB, I'm dancing to the cool tunes that are playing that I know.
They do have some pretty cool music.
Well, and you said, what is prayer? We kind of shifted to what is prayer. We keep talking about we talk about Christianity as it's a relationship with God, and we have relationships with each other. We have conversations. Mm-hmm. Some of them are lighthearted. Some of them are deeper than others. And therefore,
and so prayer.
If prayer is a conversation with God, there's going to be some honesty, some openness. There's going to be focus. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a good conversation with your friend in HEB.
Right.
Or maybe while you're driving.
Maybe.
But
the cookie out.
You're right.
And so it's... That opens a lot of opportunity for the way we pray, if we're thinking of it more communication.
Well, for me, the definition on prayer is me in my prayer aligning myself with the will of God. To me, that's the key to that phrase Jesus talks about. If you pray with faith, you can move a mountain. And James, the prayer of a righteous person, it's not about my morality as much as it is. Oh, that's important. It's about me desiring to align myself with what God's doing in the world. And so what changed when I pray for, I want to go back to my example about praying for peace in the world. It's not that I'm going to convince God to bring peace in the world. He wants it more than I do. Mm-hmm. He is better than I am. But what happens is, as I pray, I begin to have the same pathos he does.
Mm-hmm.
It matters to me. And I think differently about war in Israel. Mm-hmm. I think differently about war in Ukraine and war in general. And so I am transformed through the act of prayer. And that's where I have begin to have the mind of Christ, is through the act of prayer. This goes with last week's or last podcast, spiritual transformation. as I pray through these issues, and it's not just on, so there's a person I've been praying for a while with cancer. And this person is just a sweet, dear, dear person. I'm not trying to convince God to heal her because, you know, if God could just be convinced to heal her, he would recognize what a wonderful person she is. And then he would do the right thing. What happens, though, as I pray, I love her more. And she's more in my mind. I am identifying with her in her pain. And this is what binds the body of Christ together. We're sharing in that together. And she matters to me. If I weren't praying for her in the same way, I still would care. But now it's almost as if I have vested interest. I'm identifying with her.
Well, and when you see her, you probably are more sensitive to her presence and checking on her. And as from being in her position, those may be things she needs, those people, that touches of empathy and compassion and stuff like that. And so it.
Well, I think that's true. That's where Misty was talking earlier about getting people to pray for you. When I share my, if I'm wrestling with something, you're gonna cut that one out too?
No, I coughed away from the microphone. So.
Well, I sneezed away from the microphone. And you said
I'm not cutting that one out because okay, that was good. Fun.
Okay. When Misty, I'm not praying for you. When Misty talked about asking for friends to pray with you, it's not because that person prays better, God's going to listen to both of us together if we agree in this issue. That what happens is now the two of you are bound together in this and you're able to share that burden and she or he becomes closer to you through that prayer request and knows you better, and they can check on you in a very. So for I'm not in a good mojo with it because I'm doing something else in my devotions. But when I'm in a real serious prayer mojo in my daily devotions, I'll bring my phone in with me, which you would think would be strange. But it's not so I can be on it. It's as I'm praying for someone, I will shoot them a text message. Hey, how you doing? And it's not because I don't think about them all the time. It's but when I'm praying.
You think about them.
I think about them. So, so now this prayer becomes more than just, oh, Lord, heal so-and-so. It becomes deeper.
Well, it's not just about you. I think prayer helps us to see that we're not the main focus. You know, it's not just about us. And I think also that's part of us conforming into Christ's image.
Exactly.
And it helps us to trust him. It's I'm giving this to you.
You're in control.
Yeah, prayer doesn't change God. It changes me.
Right.
That's the heart of it.
Everything you talked about, I have 3 points. So I'm going to try and make these.
I start with number three and go up.
I could do that because they're all kind of equal. But
do them in backwards.
Do them in backwards? All right.
Are they actually typed out? Look at you go.
Well, two that I had from last night and something you said. Prompted a third one.
So you were listening.
Oh, I'm always listening.
What?
One of the good things that did come, and experiencing God, I don't really have a lot to bash about it. It did become kind of a marketing thing.
Oh, you mean the Blackaby thing?
Henry Blackaby, experiencing God. One of the things that
I must have led 15,000 sessions of experiencing God.
I went to his actual church in Canada, not while he was there, but actually.
I've got a Henry Blackaby story I'll tell you someday.
His church. One of the things about the early part of...
Was it cold when you went to Canada?
Yes. the 7 pillars of experiencing God, or whatever it's called, was God is always at work around you. And it was this idea that God is everywhere, always doing things. And the key wasn't to get God to come into our world and do things. The key was to learn how to look and listen for him. And so with that idea in mind, thinking of prayer more as I'm not trying to get God to do anything. I'm actually trying to tune myself into what God may already be doing. And one of my favorite quotes is all great spirituality is about letting go. Instead, we've made it about taking in, attaining, performing, winning, and succeeding, which makes me think of Psalm 46:10.
Is that Blackaby?
No, I'm not going to tell you who it is because you'll make fun of it.
Brene Brown.
Brene Brown.
No. It's another Richard Rohr quote. Psalm 46.
I got to get you some new books.
Psalm 46:10. Be still, know that I'm God. But in the Message translation, I love the phrase, instead of be still, he says, cease striving. And so this whole idea of we're always trying to do as Christians, or we're trying to get God to do something, and you tie all these thoughts together about me and prayer, it really is about me maybe learning how to do less and look and listen more. And like you're saying,
when I'm praying for
this friend who has cancer, it's helping bond my heart to hers and humanity and maybe the things that God is doing. Even though I have a request, I'd love for God to heal her. And so when I think of prayer, it really is so much more about, for me, it's become more about doing less and about learning to look and listen and yield to what God is doing around me more so than trying to, because
humility. I mean, it's all about obedience and humility.
I wrote down the phrase because missionaries will talk about prayer. And I heard a missionary once say, I don't understand it, but prayer moves the hand of God. I've heard that in many different ways. Prayer moves the hand of God. And I've always just kind of believed that. Because if a missionary says it, well, you know,
it's got to be true.
You got to be true. But the more I've thought on that, I don't know if that's accurate. Because per experience of God, Henry Blackaby, God's hand's always moving.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, my Father's always at work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's Jesus's words. My Father's always at work. God's hand is always moving. What happens, I think, in prayer is we open our eyes to finally see and perceive where God's hand is moving. And that's the big difference. So the missionary's right. It's just the missionary's perception on it, I think, is different than what's actually taking place.
You can flip it. Prayer moves the heart of man.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't have that much confidence in the heart of human beings.
Well, I think what you're saying is
prayer moves the heart, changes the heart.
Change the heart of the prayer is what you're saying.
Right. Not the heart of...
Not like, if I prayed for y'all, y'all's hearts would finally get right. It's like, no, when I...
Because you pray better than anyone.
But that's the way we pray about someone who's not a Christian, is we've been praying for someone, I've been praying for 40 years for them to get saved. Well, have you ever shared the gospel with them?
Have you done?
No.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they won't do that, but I'll pray for them because they're thinking that by my prayers, I can get them saved and I want you to have to do anything because it'll be on God.
Yeah.
Well, if you're really praying, what happens is for someone to get saved is your heart will open up and you will share the gospel and you will be
sensitive. Lord, help me to be an instrument
of your peace.
Of your peace. Yes. Yeah. I'll have a friend and they're always... Christmas is a huge money, deal for them. They spend money and they shop and do all these things and then complain that, they're broke and blah, blah, blah. And I've been praying.
Why are you talking about me that way?
And I've been asking God to help me, with money and da, 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 but then turn around. And so I'm thinking, okay, you're praying to help save money, but yet you're not doing anything to save money. So, if you're going to ask.
Like, I'm praying for the toothache, but I'm not going to the dentist.
Right. Yeah. It's
or the worst kinds of praying. I'm praying for the toothache, therefore I'm not going to the dentist because God's going to heal me.
In Jesus' name.
No blood infusion.
This is the...
Yeah.
That's the man stuck on the top of the house during a storm.
Preach. Yeah. I sent you a boat.
I sent you a helicopter.
Jeep, a boat, a helicopter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I agree with that. The way in which we use prayer to cover our own lack of initiative, I think is important.
Well, when I worked, I'll make this quick. When I worked,
why
at the school?
Shaw's got nothing else to do.
Hi, Joe.
We're only at an hour and three.
I worked there for 10 years already, and I was just tired of it. I wanted to find another job. I wanted something else. And so I started praying, Lord, open the doors, help me to find another job. And he told me no. He said, I need you here. I need you. And so I knew it. I knew I wasn't supposed to leave.
Why don't you working with us, Misty?
And
when God closes a door, he opens a window.
Come, when
I did God
leave.
Wants you to commit suicide? No, that works.
I'm not going to tell a story.
Tell your story.
No, I'm listening, please.
And so I stayed another 3 years before Greg and I moved here. And when I left, I could see, because of the things that had transpired from the time I wanted a new job and to the time I left, I was supposed to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
I could see why I was supposed to be there, because things happened, and I knew that I was supposed to be there. And so that's always stuck in my mind.
That's a corollary to prayer in that when we listen, that's as important as speaking. And so hearing God, I hear so many people say, I don't ever hear the voice of God. Mm-hmm. It's because you won't shut up.
Because you don't listen, yeah.
You view prayer entirely as you informing God of what you need or what he needs to know, mm-hmm. instead of just being quiet. I completely confirm what your experience is. Many, many times in my life, the Lord has spoken to me in a pointed way. And I know exactly what it is, right? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
I know exactly mm-hmm. who it is and what he's telling me, and there's no doubt.
There's no doubt.
But then
it's up to us to do what we know we're supposed to do.
You better.
Yeah.
and if you pray for the Lord's mm-hmm. will to be done, and then it does, and then you get mad, that's on you.
That's on you. Absolutely.
That's yep. on you.
Yep.
Thank you guys for joining. I thought we'd talk about Richard Foster. I see that Joni brought in Tim Keller.
And Richard Foster.
I don't see your Richard, but hold up your Richard Foster book.
I have a book jacket on mine.
Oh, it's called Prayer.
You have no jacket.
I have two copies, and neither one of them have a jacket.
Do you want my jacket?
No, I'm good.
It doesn't really matter to me.
I keep my books in tuxedos.
I generally, the first thing I do after I have finished reading a book is take the jacket off.
Interesting.
For my bookshelf. I use the jacket when I'm carrying it around reading it to protect it. And I saw it's a good bookmark with the flap.
See, I usually take the jacket off when I'm reading it because I don't want people to ask me about what I'm reading because mm-hmm. I just want to read.
Yep, I'm similar.
Really?
Well, I read a lot of mine on iPad.
Wow. Interesting. Loners. Weirdos. Thank you for joining us today. I believe the next podcast topic is marriage. Or as we say around here,
marriage.
We will do our best not to quote too much of that. Love you guys. Be good. Pray. Pray hard. Play
hard. Don't close your eyes and pray while you're driving.
Yes, don't close your eyes and pray while you're driving. And we'll catch you on the backside.
See you later.
Bye.
Peace out.
Thanks so much for listening to Under the Water Tower, a podcast dedicated to honest discussion of the Bible. To donate to this ministry, just go to fmf.life/give. That's fmf.life/give. Just a reminder to subscribe to Under the Water Tower on Apple Podcast and Spotify. That way you'll never miss an episode. Help us to spread the word about our podcast by talking about it and sharing it on your social media. Thanks again for joining us. On behalf of Under the Water Tower, I'm Kelly Trepain.